This is the Crown Talk Podcast with Crown Riri. Hello to all of my crownables out there. Thank you so much for pressing play. I definitely do appreciate it. Thank you for all the support from the crownables out there. Definitely appreciate that too. So with season two of Crown Talk, I had to make lemons out of lemonade. My neighbors were having a party and the animals were barking. And I really wanted to record, of course, and speak with Mr. Marcus Jamal Williams. So I decided to record outside, and it was a lovely day outside. Now, I will say that I have no control over Mother Nature, so you will hear a bird, and I tried to edit him out as much as I could, but yeah, you're still going to hear him. But the message is still there with Crown Talk, and the word that I got from speaking with Mr. Marcus is intentions. So my intentions were to record outside and enjoy the wonderful weather and have a wonderful conversation. And that intention was definitely accomplished. So thank you so much again for pressing play. Thank you so much again for supporting me. And also, if you can share and subscribe to the platform that you're listening to, I would really appreciate it. There's no big machine behind me. It's just me creating this for you guys. So thank you so much again. And don't forget your crown and enjoy Crown Talk. Hi, my name is Rebecca, a.k.a. Crown Riri. And hello out there to all my crown ones. I'm so excited, overly excited. Mr. Marcus Jamal Williams here. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Good. How are you?
Fine. I'm so excited because I was telling you before we started recording is that I was looking to acknowledge or speak to more kings out there. And I also want to speak to an artist. So thank you for coming on my platform. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And you do art? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. What type of art? Well, let's start from the beginning. When did you start doing art?
I was 5 years old when I started.
Wonderful.
I went to Lake Forest Elementary School's Arts Madness, Performing Visual Arts.
Yes.
So before I started going there, my mom, I guess, recognized that I liked drawing and stuff. So
yes.
She made sure that I was able to do that in school. So ever since then, I've been doing art.
One, did you know then, I guess at five, that you wanted to take it seriously, or was it?
Not at five. Definitely in elementary school, because it was such a heavy focus at the time. Like, I didn't really know anything else.
Right. That's good. Were you, because I'm trying to think when I was five, I used to like draw stick figures, but because I like to have everything straight, I would just keep erasing. Did you just like keep going when you felt like, I guess you just kept going when you were doing your art, like perfection-wise.
Yeah, well, when I got to middle school, I had a teacher, an art teacher, that didn't let us use erasers.
Mm.
So that's when I kind of learned to work with what I got.
Yeah.
You know?
And wonderful.
So, and it also teaches you to focus more on what you're doing, because you don't have the opportunity to do it over.
Right. I don't know why my art teacher didn't teach me that. I was like, so like, comes like, that's why I don't do like certain things, because I like to have like everything straight. I don't think it's OCD, but I just like, I see it and it looks crooked to me. Like, I just keep doing it.
You might want to start with painting.
Oh.
Not as much pressure to be perfect.
That's true. Okay. I might be the new Bob Ross. You never know. Do you like Bob Ross?
I love Bob Ross. I do not like Bob.
You do?
So how can you not like
him? I know. I think it's weird that like he's coming back, but he's never been gone, I guess.
I don't feel like he ever left.
Yeah.
I think younger people discover him now, but the merchandise has always been out there, the reruns.
Yeah, and I think Netflix has like four different Bob Ross categories. I'm like, how is that possible? If it's just one like whole season. But it's like two, I think it's like four different ways that they're watching Bob Ross. So, I'm telling my crowns out there, we are outside. I thought we'd do like a different atmosphere. Just putting it out there. Okay, so when did you, after high school, did you go to college for art, or where did you go from there?
So initially, because by high school, I had been programmed to believe that art was not a viable career.
Boo.
So I decided to go to school for architecture because I figured that was like a good practical application. And it was cool. I did well, but I didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I would.
Right.
So
that's more straight lines. So you went back to that perfection per se?
Yeah. And it didn't give me what I needed.
So right.
I decided to stop architecture. Unfortunately, I decided to also stop going to class.
Oh, okay. Kanye.
Yeah. So I did switch to art. By then, because those classes I didn't go to, my GPA was so low that I couldn't recover. So I didn't graduate with an art degree. I graduated with a philosophy degree.
Okay, that's still art though.
It is. It's very interesting. I enjoyed it. Just another avenue.
That's good. I remember taking philosophy, and I was like, to me, it was like so much like questioning like everything.
And this is what I do.
Yeah, me too. Because I'm an overthinker. So if you tell me like one basic thing, I think about like 800 and other like scenarios that could have happened. So I think when I took philosophy, it was just like too much for me at the time. I was like, oh my, like everything can be questioned.
Yeah. And I've always been that kind of person that was just like, I don't know if I can just accept what you're saying to me.
Right.
Like, you know, validate it for me.
Yeah. Like, why not?
Yeah.
And then it's like, why not again? Or like, how did that happen? Or yeah, I get it. Believe me, I get it. Okay, so I went to the
Arts District.
Court Arts District. I was so excited to go, and I actually went by myself, which I barely go out by myself. But I had an enjoyable time. I saw you there. I was like, I know him. And I didn't want to bother you because I know that people were, you know, I always feel like not to bother people in their spaces. So I know that you were like talking to other people, but did you enjoy like people coming and looking at your art?
Yeah, I always enjoyed people looking at my art. Mm-hmm. It was a big turnout.
So yeah.
It was good. It was a long day because I hadn't slept. I was up all night getting prepared. So I slept maybe an hour and a half and then came back. So
wow.
I was really tired, but I did enjoy it, talking to people about, you know, the work. And
yeah.
And don't worry about
me
talking to me in my space. Like,
yeah.
That's pretty much what the event was for.
Yeah. But I respected it when I was looking at your art. It reminded me, I'm trying to make sure I say it correctly, but I was listening to, do you watch The Office?
I've seen it.
Okay. There's a character on there named Dwight Schrute. His name is Ryan Wilson.
Yeah.
And he was saying how when you take your creativity and you create, I believe in God, but it's like if you take what God blesses you with creativity or art and you put it out there, it's like you're telling him thank you by putting it out there. And so when I see like your artwork and, you know, your art of women, I think about like Eve per se. Is that kind of, I guess, like, how do you explain like your art with the women that you paint per se?
So the overall kind of, I guess, theme that is consistent in a lot of the stuff I do is representation. So a lot of the work is just different manifestations of that.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I did a piece with Olivia Pope, you know, Kerry Washington with the Pope hat. And I was just kind of thinking about the idea that you don't see women in this position,
right,
let alone a black woman. Yes. So, you know, it's a play on words, but it's also, you know, exploring a deeper concept.
Right.
The work that you saw during Open Studios is inspired by African deities. So the concept behind that came from me just thinking about how there aren't a lot of religious, because when I was, you know, in school studying art, you know, a lot of the paintings were religious.
Right.
But, you know, when the people controlling religion look a certain way, all the paintings are going to look a certain way.
Very true. And I love that you said that because I'm always like inspired by music or visions or however.
And when I go to museums, all I see are these white paintings of people, and it's just like, I can get inspired, but I believe I'd be more inspired looking at African-American paintings, yeah, per se.
And the crazy thing is, with as many great black artists as there are,
yeah,
I went through art in elementary, middle school, high, mm-hmm, school. I didn't learn about black artists until college.
Right.
You know, I, yeah, went to the museum every year.
Uh-huh.
You know, studied all kinds of art. Never
heard about black artists. That's very true. Which also, I'm not going to say Basquiat on here 300 times. Cause I know there are other black artists out there. But.
Yeah. And then, you know, to go beyond that, there's not, mm-hmm, a lot of black subjects.
Right.
You know, throughout our history. I mean, it's a little better now. It's getting, mm-hmm, better. But I was just thinking about, my upbringing and how I want to shift the perspective for younger people.
Thank you.
So that they can see a black artist.
Right.
You know, and they can also see black subjects.
Right.
And see the importance of those subjects the same way that the importance of, you know, these other subjects and artists are stressed.
Yeah.
In our history. So my work, a lot of times, elevates,
mm-hmm,
black women. Yes. Like goddess or...
I appreciate, you know, it. You know, I believe that we're kings and queens, or we're all crowned. So when I do see, like, your paintings, like I said, it reminds me of our Eve. Because, you know, the narrative of what people say Eve is just, mm-hmm, not... To me, no. So when I look at your painting, that's what I see, per se. It's like, this is what your subject idea is.
Yeah. And I mean, just beyond trying to tie to any particular concept, mm-hmm, just the idea of being able to see yourself or, right, someone that looks like you as a deity, regardless, right, of what that deity is,
right,
is, I think, powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a long time, the only thing we had to look at was an old white man.
Exactly.
Which is why old white men feel so empowered.
Right. I agree. You know?
So, I mean, of course, that's just one aspect of it, but, yeah, I feel like it's important.
But it's like a big aspect, like you said, because we grow up in school, and like you said, not until high school, when you're already, like, what, 12 years in school, and you have your mindset of, this is what we were taught, and this is how it is. And now you have to, like, retrain yourself or reset yourself. It's like, okay, there's more to what I was taught for, like, the last 12 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. My nephew is, he draws, like, a lot and does art. And so when you were talking about being an architect, I thought about him. I think he said, like, for the longest, he wanted to be a mailman. Not knocking mailman. Like, he was really wanting to be a mailman. And I think my sister did talk to him and say that he wanted to be an architect. So hopefully he'll hear this and know that you can study your art. So
thank you. Options.
Yeah, there are options out there. Now, you do have a painting where it is a flag and it's like the names of all of the African Americans that have been shot, correct? How did you come upon that? Because when I saw that, I always get, like, so sad because there's truth in that.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is, truth in the art, but that's basically truth, you know, with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a topic that you can't really escape.
Right.
You know, so, I don't know, I was just kind of, it actually started years ago and I kind of put it down.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just going to be, you know, the red, black, and blue.
Right.
Kind of to symbolize the colors. Kind of meant to symbolize the violence.
Yes. You know?
And then, you know, there's gunshots in the flag.
Right.
You know, there's blood dripping.
A lot. Yeah, but you it's know, true.
So it kind of is meant to display the aspects of American society that a lot of people try to downplay.
Right.
You know, everybody wants to focus on, you know, all the so-called patriotic aspects.
Yes.
But they don't really want to talk about, you know,
the truth.
Stuff that's going on.
Right.
So it was just that, like, America's not just, you know, America. Baseball and freedom.
Yeah. You know? Pretty much. Yeah. Like, Travis Gambino, like, this is America, and basically, like, his video is just America, what we see, but distracted at the same time. So
yeah. So recently when I started back working on it,
mm-hmm,
I decided instead of stars to use the initials of actual people.
Yeah. So. Which I'm sure you could have filled up more than 50 signs.
Definitely. I had to narrow it down.
Which is sad, but yeah. Do you have a name for that painting?
Red, Black, and Blue.
Okay. Just put that up there. And so, what does your work aim to say when you are doing your art pieces?
I mean, it varies, but I think, like I said, the overall concept mm-hmm. is representation mm-hmm. and empowerment. So, those are two of the main themes of most of my work.
And do you enjoy when people have their own input on your artwork, or is it more like, this is mine, I don't want to hear about it?
No, I'll when I have a show, I'll stand like in the, you know, off to the side,
yeah,
and just watch people mm-hmm. have conversations about it. So I like for people to interpret it for themselves before okay. even really talking to them about it.
Right, that's good. But last time, well, Mr. Pete was here, and we talked about expectations. Do you have, like, an expectation for yourself with your art, or are you always trying to, like, meet somebody else's?
I have expectations.
Oh, I love that word. Uh-huh.
And I realized that, for me, that's, like, where it all starts, just having the intention. So many things that I was kind of putting off or mm-hmm. wasn't really focusing on.
Right.
Once I set the intention to actually do it.
Yeah.
Then everything else just kind of flowed. Like, I was, you know, I didn't have to put too much thought into it.
I love that word, intentions. I'm listening.
So I have intentions. I don't have expectations in terms of the outcome.
Right.
You know, because I'm not entitled to anything.
Hmm.
But I have intentions. I know what I'm looking to do.
Right.
In any given situation. And the thing is just figuring out how to get to that point.
I just love that you said that, like a crown talk moment, because that's like true. Like you said, like I'm trying to like not stare people away from the word expectations, but I was saying like I don't expect anything from artists because they're in their space, and it's like whatever your, like you said, your intention in your space, that's your intention. I can't tell you, well, that's horrible. It's like, no, that's your space, that's your intention. So thank you. And I love the word intentions. That's like my word for 2020. Who are your biggest influences?
In terms of just people I like to, mm-hmm. you know, not necessarily just the artwork, but just their stories. I like Kerry James Marshall. I got to meet him one time.
Awesome.
When I was younger, I was really into both Salvador Dali and M.C. Escher.
Okay, I know M.C. Escher.
I was obsessed with both of their works. It was so different from what anybody else was doing.
Right.
And that's kind of how I like to... That's one of my intentions, is to not try to be somebody else.
Right.
You know, just try to interpret things in my own way.
Mm-hmm.
So those are two people that I really admire for their ability to kind of just do their own thing.
They're definitely going against everything art, per se, now that I think about it.
I wouldn't even say that. I would just say they were really creating.
Okay. Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's one thing to make something.
Right.
And something entirely else to create something.
Right. That's true.
Because there has to be, you know, part of that. Even if you're using traditional techniques, if you're actually creating something,
mm-hmm.
some of that has to come from nowhere.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Okay. you're making me think. Okay, that's true. Because some people are put here to create, and then some people are put to create stuff that we've never seen before.
Yeah, I mean, so. That's necessary for evolution.
Yeah. Thank you. So what inspires you, per se? Do you, like, put me into, like, a day where you're just, like, I'm going to make something or create something incredible. How does that start?
You want the honest?
Yes.
Okay. So usually I will go get something to eat
mm-hmm.
to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go back to my studio.
Mm-hmm.
I'll smoke.
Okay.
And then I put on my playlist
mm-hmm.
and I start working.
Wait, what's on your playlist?
so many things.
Mm-hmm.
It's
Can you give us 5 songs from your playlist?
Here, let me pull it up.
Okay.
I add stuff to this. I have like a few different playlists, but this is one of the main ones that I'm listening to.
Okay.
Let's see. Got Sylvan Esso.
Mm-hmm.
David Omar, Melanie Martinez, Tierra Whack.
I love Tierra Whack. Like, I'm rooting for her this year.
Tame Impala, Switch, Summer Walker.
Like her. And that inspired you after. So, okay, you get something to eat, you go to the tattoo studio and have your little smoke session, you hit your playlist, and then that's when you.
Yeah, once I'm done, you know, eating and everything,
mm-hmm.
then that's when I start working, and I just pretty much autopilot at that point.
So at that time, are you, like, unbothered with everything else outside of you, per se?
Pretty much, yeah. Like, I'm aware.
Yeah.
But I'm just, you know, I don't have to think too much at that point.
Did your environment understand that? Like, when you're just, like, because you know how, like, people be like, well, you answer your phone and do this. It's like, I'm creating right now. I don't have that.
Well,
like, I'm not.
Luckily, I don't have too many people calling me.
Okay.
Because I think people know I don't like to talk on the phone that much.
I don't think nobody does.
So, and then, you know, with texting, like, you know, I'll get back to you when I get back to you.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So how long would it take you to do, like, a piece? I guess it just depends on the size, or?
It does, and it also depends on what I'm trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times when I start a piece, I don't know how it's going to look when I finish it.
Right.
So a lot of the process is learning, you know, just teaching myself what I'm trying to do.
Hmm.
So it can vary. Right now, I'm working with just a palette knife when, you know, for years I've done paintbrush, so I figure out new things all the time.
Life is a teacher.
Yeah.
So how do you know, I guess you don't, like, know if you're messing up because you're teaching yourself, so it just depends on how it comes out to you, right?
Yeah, I don't think there is a messing. I mean, when you're creating something, you know, of your own, you don't, I mean, you can not like it.
Right.
It's not necessarily messed up.
That's true.
You know, if it's just completely not what I want to see, then I'll go over it. But a lot of times, if it's just like a line out of place or something.
Right.
I'll just move the line and I'll leave the error in there.
See, that's me with the line. Nobody, like,
nobody cares, you know?
That's true. Because,
like,
it's art.
There's no restrictions. Like, you put the restrictions on yourself to be perfect.
Right.
When you're never going to be perfect.
You're correct.
So I when I stopped trying to be perfect, that's part of the reason I started painting. I used to draw a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to want to make everything look, you know, realistic as possible. And once I got to that point where I could, just like, okay, what now?
Right.
Like, I'm just recreating pictures and redrawing stuff. So I started painting more, and I started doing more abstract stuff to kind of get a little more free.
Mm-hmm.
And it led me to this point.
Wonderful. And while you're saying that, I just reminded, because I went to Landon Middle School.
Okay.
And I did take art.
So did I.
You did? Wonderful.
Yeah, for 1 year before they moved to La
Villa. Yeah, I went a little older than you. But when I went, I did take art, and I'm just thinking about, like, every time. Like, we had to, I can't remember what it's called, but you know, like, they have, like, the display, and you're supposed to, like, draw how the display looks in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, when you were saying, like, the perfection thing, and it was, like, if we didn't get it right, like, my teacher, like, I was, like, erase it, and, like, okay, go back and do it again, shade this over and over again. And like you said to me, it was kind of like, this is what I see, but to her, it was, like, it's not perfect.
Well, I think with that, too, I mean, that's important. Like,
yeah.
Those types of classes, like, you have to, if you're looking to represent things, you have to learn how to observe.
Right.
So I think that was a good foundation for me to learn all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once you know all the rules, you have the freedom to start breaking rules chose intentionally rather than just, you know, willy-nilly. So, you know, when I'm doing something, I know that it's not necessarily, quote-unquote, correct. Mm-hmm. I know I'm doing it on purpose. I know why I'm doing it.
Right.
Rather than just flailing around trying to, you know.
But that comes back to when people be like, there's a method to my madness, and then, like, it comes out.
Definitely. I mean, as long as, I feel like as long as I'm putting into it what I feel like is going to make it better, then I'm not worried about, you know, the structure of it so much. Hmm. Like, composition is more important than making something exactly the right size.
Right.
Although I have that in mind, you know, I'm paying attention to all those things.
But right.
I'm not letting that, like,
stop you.
Handcuff me.
Right. I love that. So how important is it for your art space to be organized? Because when I went into your space, it was, like, really, it, to me, like, it tells a story of, because didn't you just move there not too long ago?
I moved there last year. Well, I moved into Cork last January. Mm-hmm. And then last October, I moved into the space that you were in.
Okay.
The bigger space.
Yes.
So, I had been in there like a month.
But it looks very, not organized, but it looks like you, like, if you're sitting in the middle of it, like, everything is accessible to you. Is that how you try to organize your space?
Yeah, so when I moved in, I tried to make sure, like, it made sense for how I work. Mm-hmm. You know, and for, like, people that are coming in, it also makes sense.
Right.
And then I have, like, a bunch of artwork from other artists that I purchased.
Wonderful.
So I put that on one wall because I didn't want it to be confusing.
Right.
You know. But when you came in, that's probably the most organized you're ever going to see that space because I cleaned up for everybody.
Of course.
I'm not a very organized person overall.
Because is that like really...
to make sense.
Right. Is that like organization at the time when you're creating? Is that really like important at the time? I don't feel like it is.
Somewhat. Mm-hmm. When it comes to, like, your materials and stuff and getting to them, like, you don't want to slow down the process.
Yeah.
But everything perfect is not important to me.
Right. Okay. And then you have started, you and Mr. Alfie have started Bear Sessions.
Yes.
Can you talk on that?
So, that is a series we are creating that features, you know, singers, rappers, and it's all a cappella.
Yes.
So it's all about, you know, that person, that voice.
Yeah.
And it's also featuring artwork from different artists on each installment. So it's kind of like the mutation of something I wanted to do years ago, but didn't quite have everything in place. Originally, I was going to do something where I was painting live.
Okay.
And someone is going to be performing, you know, at the same time. First person was actually going to be Felicia Nicole. And we never just was able to coordinate. And then we moved, I don't know if you remember, we had the space at the Union, the warehouse space.
Yes, I actually went there. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was going to be a space where we will be able to have, you know, like, larger bands and things.
Right.
And so that was going to be how it was going to look at that time. Hmm. And then we left that space, so didn't quite work out that time. And we got to a point recently where I was just like, I'm just going to get started.
Yeah.
Like, I've been putting it off for too long. I got a space now. Mm-hmm. You know. So, I was thinking about, like, concept and everything. And thinking about the series that I like to watch. Like, Body and Colors.
Yeah.
And what I liked about them is kind of the stripped down nature of it.
Yes, I love Colors. I can just binge watch. I don't even care who the artist is. It's just the scene of it.
Yeah, like there's so much thought that goes into it.
Right, but it's so simple at the same time.
Exactly. So that's why I just started thinking about how can I do something different, but it's also like capturing that same kind of stripped down, bare kind of feeling. So I set it up. It's no instruments, no, you know, backing track or anything like that.
Just
the artists bearing their soul and then the artwork behind them.
I like it. And I know that you had Twan on there. You had Mr. IP or Kit Monroe. And then you also had the lady that sung Jill Scott.
So
I like it. And so did you guys just say, like you said, it was just like, okay, this is what we're going to do?
Yeah, I mean, me and him talked about it. We bounced some ideas around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful for him for it.
It's a cool friend.
Yeah.
Shout out to him.
He does a lot.
Yes.
You know, on his own.
Right.
But yeah, he's dealt with it.
Yeah.
So he gives a lot of great input. And we just decided to stick with this format.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah, I shared it on there, and I was like, when it first came out, and it was like a preview, and I was like, I'm curious about how this is going to go. And then, like you said, it was so bare, but I know it's like complications behind recording it, but when you look at it, it looks so simple and like plain, and not plain, but like to the point of, this is the artist, this is the art coming together.
And that's what I wanted to be, like, forget all the extra stuff.
Yeah.
This is what we're trying to showcase. Here it is.
Right.
And, you know, no distractions.
Crown recognized. I love it. So how important is it for you to have like a support system of people to bounce ideas off of, or just?
I think it's very important. Mm-hmm. That's part of the reason I wanted to move into court, because there's so many resources. Not even just, you know, logistically, but philosophically, you know, artistically, just talking to people about random stuff
leads
to, you know, things you don't even think about beforehand. So,
cause I got lost in there. I was like, where do I go from here? And I was like, I think I was here before. Next thing you know, I was like across the street at the other art place.
Yeah, I think people don't realize like it encompasses like pretty much that whole block, right?
Yeah. I would think I went like to the Yellow House by accident. Not by accident, but like I saw everybody else going over there, and I was like, oh, let me go over here too. And then I came back around. I was like, this place is like huge.
Yeah, it wasn't by accident. So, okay. You know, whenever they do open studios, mm-hmm. you know, all the art spaces over there coordinate.
Oh, wonderful.
So, yeah, that's why everything's going on at once. So that maximize
the right. Crowd. Okay. Yeah, I was like, I'm going to keep walking and see where I end up. So. But I think that's nice that there's like there, because I love supporting people and I love like the just like support, period. But I was just loving how it was like there's no competition. It was just like, this is my art. Come look at my art, period.
It's not, I don't feel like artists are competitive type of people.
That's good.
Like I used to be when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Very competitive.
But we were taught to be competitive when we were younger.
Yeah, but at this point, like, I know what I'm capable of,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I also know that there are plenty of people that are capable of a lot of things.
Right.
And things that I'm not capable of. So, you know, I just focus on what I do and not worry about what other people are doing.
But just like, because your intent is different from what they're doing. So, which I love that word. Intent. True. But yeah, your intent is different or how the outcome is going to be. So it's like, they might do what you do, but again, your intent is different from what they're doing. So it's not the same message.
Yeah. And they don't do what I do.
Right.
Because I'm not trying to create a blueprint.
Right.
Like my stuff changes all the time because I'm always, like I said, I'm always learning.
Yeah.
So things evolve as I go on. I learn new things, I incorporate it. And so, I don't feel like even if somebody, there's a lot of artists that worry about people copying their stuff.
Yeah.
Which is a real thing. People do it. I don't.
How? I feel like you'll take more work trying to copy what I'm doing.
Well, it depends. Mm. You know, if they figure out just the basics of it,
mm-hmm.
then they can imitate it.
Oh.
You know, but there's always going to be something missing because there's nothing original behind it.
Right.
You know? And I always feel like as long as somebody's copying you, then that was going to be behind you.
Oh, that's true.
Like, you can't copy my next move until I do it.
Thank you. I feel like Marcus is giving me like crown talk mini moments for the rest of the week. So I appreciate, honestly, because you're like really speaking to me, because I love being in my creative space. I love podcasting. And like I said, I believe that support is like really big. And when people are supporting and rooting you, it's not based off them that you're going to succeed. It's off you. But it's just nice to have, like you said, that background behind you.
Yeah,
and not having to worry. Yeah. You
know, not just other artists, but family.
Mm-hmm.
My family's always been pretty supportive.
So that's good.
I appreciate that. I know everybody doesn't have that.
Yeah, I feel like some people think that they have to have like a broken background to be successful. So they try to push people away.
Plus, I mean, I think a lot of people expect certain people to support them in certain ways. And mm-hmm. I don't, like, you know, if this person didn't come to my show, I'm not mad about it.
Right. Because aren't you looking at the people who are there?
That, and I know, you know, either they didn't want to come,
mm-hmm.
which is okay, or they couldn't come, which happens.
Right.
There have been plenty of things I intended to go to that I didn't make it to.
Right.
You know.
The things happen.
I don't support that person any less.
Right.
You know. So, I try to look at it from that perspective. And nobody owes me their presence.
No, right.
You know, family or not. So, I know even the people that may not make it to all my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know they still support me.
Yeah.
Know? They still, you know, tell me how much.
And it's not gonna stop you from loving any less what you do.
Exactly. I mean, it shouldn't.
It should not.
I mean, that's not why I do it. So.
Right. Very true. Thank you. I don't even know whether to have my crown talk moments or just thank you. Speaking of just art and duplicating art, me and my sister went to Mosh, and we were taking pictures outside. But every time a lady would come, my sister was like, you can't take pictures out here, whatever. Do you mind people take pictures of your art?
I don't mind.
Okay. Because I feel like, I don't know why, I don't know, I just feel like not to, but.
When I go to museums and galleries, I have like thousands of pictures.
Yeah, my sister
just from this, just from December when I was in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So many pictures, like I'm never gonna post all these pictures, but
right,
like I had to capture some of the stuff.
Just the art of it.
Yeah, so if somebody feels that my art is worth taking a picture of,
yeah, okay, you heard it first, people, because I was wondering. But I think me and my sister just being silly, because I think it was like a Friday night. They had like the Come Art Museum. They were open, like their yard was open, whatever. Yeah. When we were taking pictures, but every time like the lady would come, so it's like, hurry up, the lady's coming. And I was like, I don't think she cares. She's like, you never know. And I was like, I don't know.
You
know, so
you can definitely take pictures
of the company. I thought so. She was like, they're gonna charge you. And I was like,
people,
I don't.
People go there just to take pictures.
Right, that's what I was thinking, because basically that's what people were doing anyway. So okay. So what is one of your crown moments?
So I was thinking about it. In terms of accomplishments, I feel like I haven't had it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So just in terms of you mentioned lessons,
mm-hmm.
and I think that would go back to what we were talking about earlier about setting your intention.
Yes.
I think that was one of the biggest things for me, because like over the course of a few years, it's like each year I was just like, okay, this is what I'm going to focus on accomplishing, you know, and I didn't put the pressure on myself to, you know, if I wasn't there by a certain point or anything like that, but
mm-hmm.
I was always doing whatever I was doing was with that intention.
Right.
And so, you know, those things happen. And so, you know, following year did the same thing.
Mm.
Those things happen.
Yeah.
Know? Of course I had to do things to make them happen.
Right.
It's that simple, but just that starting point
mm-hmm.
got me to the next starting point.
I think I want to replace the word expectations with intentions, despite your conversation. I'm going to call Webster Dictionary and be like, I want this expectation. I want the word out of here. I just want intentions. Like you said, if your intentions are good, and then if you look at it and say, my intentions were met, that's, yeah.
Yeah, or at least, and I fully believe in partial credit. So
yeah,
you know, even if I didn't get to the pinnacle of what I was looking forward to or intending to accomplish, right, if I made progress, you know, noticeable progress, yeah, I'm still happy with that.
Wonderful. I love that. Okay. And going from there, because I am sitting with a king, so I have a list called Dear King, and it's just me just saying, like, Dear King, you are amazing, you're wonderful, you're a legacy, because I believe that there's so much negativity around, no, I'm sorry, there's so much negativity targeted to men. It's like, it's crazy. It's like, you guys are targets as soon as you walk out the door, from black and black crime to police brutality, it's just being black, just being a man. And it just, like, I saw, like, a post, and it, like, really made me sad. So I started Dear King. And how important is it for you to love yourself?
I think it's very important. Mm-hmm. Because then you don't need anything external for that.
Right.
Yeah, so you're not trying to replace it. You got to focus on your intentions.
Yes.
You know, I'm not, you know, like, we all want to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody else loves me. I love me.
Right. I remember the Kendrick Lamar song. I love myself. I love Kendrick Lamar. But yeah, I just, like, I really believe. So how important is it for you to have, like, self-care for yourself?
I'm realizing this, especially as I get older. I'm turning 32 next week.
Oh!
Or this week, actually. Thursday.
Oh, happy early birthday. You're welcome. Yeah. Oh, we're not too different in age.
Yeah, I feel 32, though.
Uh-huh.
Like, each year, the you know, the closer I get, you know.
Yeah.
I just feel my age more. And I realize that I have to, like, when I was younger, I didn't have to do much to maintain.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta do a little more now.
Yeah.
So, and even if it's just, you know, relaxing,
mm-hmm,
not putting too much on myself.
Right.
You know, I try to get massages regularly, which I never used to do.
I have never had a massage. I'm not used to
it. Never.
I don't like people, like, see my shoulders are moving. I like that. I don't like people, like, in my space. But I'm trying to.
I got somebody that might change their mind.
Oh, okay.
She gave me a whole new body.
She did?
Yeah, I'm not even the same person I was when I.
Oh, wow. Maybe I need to meet her. So, yeah, I believe in, like, self-cations. That's what I call it when I just stay home and I do whatever I want to do, whether that's, like, do nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think people feel like when you're not. Like, I still, you know, work 4 hours a week.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people feel like, you know, if you have a dream, a mm-hmm, passion, you're supposed to spend all your free time on that.
Oh, no.
You know, if you're not working, you should be doing this. And if that's how you feel, then mm-hmm, cool. But I have other things I enjoy.
Yeah, actually, when you said that, I was, this thing kept popping up on my YouTube about creativity. I don't really like looking at videos about people telling me how to navigate my creativity, but it kept popping up. And so when I listened to it, the man was saying, he was like, when you are a creative, you're not supposed to spend 40 hours of your day on that creation because it's going to aggravate you, because it's like you don't have that balance of having just a scheduled life versus this creative life, where it's just like you get flustered and trying to complete this creative mission. Mm-hmm. That on this end, it's like you, like, it's like an unbalanced person. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I don't let anybody rush myself. So.
Yeah.
And the thing is, a lot of my process happens,
mm-hmm,
not on the canvas.
Hmm.
Like, all throughout the day, I'm working out issues.
Yeah.
With, you know, how can I do this, or how can I make this happen?
Right.
Or, you know, what didn't I like about it the last time I was working on it?
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I get back into the studio, I get to start working.
Right.
You know, I don't have to, like, figure it out because I'm always thinking about it.
Yeah.
So I never feel like I'm not working.
Yeah.
Because I'm always thinking about 1,000 things that pertain to my art.
Yeah, and then wouldn't it be more frustrating if you, like, say if you were just in the studio for 9 hours just staring at something and then, like, trying to figure it out versus, like, living your life and figuring it out that way, per se? You know what I mean? It's like you're looking at, like, oh, why couldn't I just do that?
Yeah, because you never know what answer's going to come from.
Right.
So, you could see something that could spark something mm-hmm. else, and all of a sudden your pain goes in a completely different direction.
Right.
So I don't live in myself to, like, I'm not a production line. I'm not a manufacturer.
Yeah, you're an artist.
It's not all about, you know, physically working.
Right.
So.
I like that. Yeah. I work a 40-hour job, but I'm blessed to listen to music, like, the whole time I'm at work. So I listen to music, and I love, like, lyrics. I dive, like, deep in. But when I get home, by the time I get home, it's, like, whatever situation I had, like you said, it's already resolved. I already, like, know what to do, per se. Or, like, I like taking my little portrait selfies or whatever. But that comes from me listening to music, listening to lyrics, and saying, okay, this is where I want to be in my space. This is how I want to take my picture. This is what. So, yeah, I think if I was, like, at home all day, like, oh, why can't I get this lighting right? Why can't I do this? It'd be more... I don't know, like, frustrating to me, per se.
Yeah. I think just, like, the body and mind is the rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I got these two animals here, so... Okay. I'm a proud mother, but sometimes it's like, I just need to sit over here while I create, but... Okay. Was there anything else that you wanted to bring to the crown top today?
We covered...
Yeah, I told you I didn't want to be like an interview, but more a conversation. Because I think sometimes when people have like questions to the person, it kind of like makes them forget maybe like the reason why they were here. So yeah, that's why I wanted to be more conversation.
That's a little easier for me to handle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like where were you? So like, I don't, because like I said, I believe when it comes to people coming to my platform, they are here to express themselves and tell their stories. So. Wonderful. Where can all of my crown ones follow you?
On Instagram @art_mwill, MWILL.
Okay, I will leave that in the notes. And that's just Instagram?
Yes, that's the main place.
Which makes sense because you do art. So.
Yeah. It's the perfect format.
I love Instagram more than Facebook sometimes, and also way more than Twitter. I'm such on Instagram.
If you look at my posts, like, usually just a picture
mm-hmm.
and one word.
Yeah, I love it.
Keep it simple. You see what's there.
Yeah. That's why I try to express myself through musical lyrics now than just me just like having like a 10,000 word post mm-hmm. about my day. It's actually been like therapeutic to me because I always find like vulnerability in music. So
the reason I stopped writing long captions is because...
Anybody reading them?
No, not even that. Uh-huh. Like I'll end up rewriting it like 20 times before I actually post it.
Me too.
So I just get that one word that sums it up for me.
Yeah. Yeah, when I'm trying to find like the perfect song, sometimes it takes me like 45 minutes. And like I knew it when I left work, but now I see my picture, I'd be like, oh, I should have. So yeah, creativity is, you have freedom, but I think like you said, sometimes you like you restrict yourself.
Yeah.
And it's just like, your just intent is to get your word across. So.
Yeah.
Side note, I saw that you posted about Atlanta. You're not coming back into 2021. Are you okay?
I get it. I'm happy that they're mm-hmm. thriving and have busy schedules. But
yeah, because
I was just hoping, just like behind the scenes, they were just putting something together.
Me too.
You know,
because I just rewatched it on Hulu mm-hmm. last weekend, and it kept popping up. It was coming back in 2020. And I was like, good. That way, like, I'm, like, consistent with it coming out, and I remember everything. Then when you posted, I was like, 2021? Good grief.
Yeah. I mean, at least I feel like it'll be good.
Yeah, because it's a part one and a part two.
Yeah, I mean, if they're putting that much time into it, it better be good.
Well, we don't have any expectations for Donald Glover, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not, like, overly critical.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm critical, but I'm not like, oh, I wish he would have did this that way. Like, you know,
yeah.
That's his art. I can tell him how to do his art.
Right.
But at the same time, like, you know, when there's like effort.
Yeah, because I think the comparison of first season and second season was like a big comparison of contrast, because like the first season was like more like comical. The second season, like, to me was like really like dark.
I think it's always been dark and comical.
For the first season, but it's too?
Just they kind of they explore more techniques for getting that across in the second season.
Yeah.
And I still think it's hilarious.
Me too.
And I think also the circumstances in the second season are different.
Very true. Yeah. Because I rewatched it and I really thought, the first time I watched it, I was like, whoa, this is it. Oh, okay. Like, some of, like, episodes, I was, like, kind of, like, not sad, but just, like, all right. Like, the whole FUBU episode, it still gets me.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Just
all the different avenues they explored for that season. Like, the interview episode.
Yes.
Like, I would have never expected that kind of a format.
Me neither.
Like, it was confusing at first.
Yeah, because you thought you were watching commercials for real.
Like, at first, yeah, you think you're watching a commercial, and then something just goes left, and you're like, you think it's fake, but then you never know, because these commercials these days. And
exactly, like, the whole car commercial, and it was like, this is a real car commercial? And next thing you know, like, this guy is jumping out the car, pumping gas, with no clothes on. So, and the whole guy thinking that he's a white man, but... Man. So, yes, I watched season one, like, two or three times, but this is my first time watching season two, like, fully. Like I said, to me, it was comical, but it was more of dark. But when I was watching it again the second time, I was like, okay, I get it. Most of this stuff is, like, stuff that people, like, really go through in scenarios where it's like, ha-ha, but it's like, no, this is serious. So, but I'm patient with Donald Glover because he's an artist and he just does, like, everything. So.
Yeah, not to mention, you know, he put out... amazing album.
Yes. Like, which, if you look at season one, the art cover for that is in one of those episodes.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you? Okay, I thought
it's
just,
the one. I think it's the one.
Juneteenth?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, wait, that's the cover to this artwork. So, a little something for our crowns to look at. Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Marcus Jamal Williams. I appreciate it for you coming to my platform. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me.
It's just weird how everything lines up, because I was like, I want to talk to Mark Kings on my show, because again, I believe we're all crowned. And then also I want to talk to an artist, so super wonder. We're
bringing it back around.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that was your intention.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the intention of doing interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I just put it out there.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Why did you, before we go, why did you want to do more?
I don't know. I just,
mm-hmm.
I think after Open Studios and talking to a lot of people about my stuff and I think in talking about it, it helps me kind of figure some things out too.
Wonderful.
Yeah, because you might get a question you never even thought of.
Yeah.
You know, then you have to actually think about it.
Yeah.
And figure out, like, what does this mean? Or, you know,
why
am I doing this?
Right.
And so it can lead to better work. So, I like talking to people. But this is, like, it's new for me to do it, you know, record it. So.
Okay. Never been interrogated before, no problem. Well, thank you again for coming to my platform. I do appreciate it. Like you said, I like talking to people. I love listening to people's stories. I keep saying I'm antisocial, but I have to find another word for it. I'm limited to conversations with people, I guess. You're
selectively social.
Yes. Thank you. I'm selectively social. Y'all heard that. So thank you again for coming onto the platform. Please, to all my crowns out there, please follow Mr. Marcus. I will put your information on my platform. That way they can follow you and see your wonderful artwork. Do you have anything coming up?
I'm just working on this current collection, trying to put together a whole kind of experience.
Okay. So wonderful.
That's what I'm working on at the moment. I do have... an exhibit I'm a part of in South Africa at the
Mandela Metropolitan. No, wait a minute. No, that's a crown moment. It's a crown moment.
We can go with that.
Okay. So is So your paint, your artwork isn't in, it is in South Africa?
Yeah, two of the pieces from, there was a show here at the Ritz called Through Our Eyes. It's an annual exhibition. And the year I participated, they selected certain works to go over to South Africa. Our sister city, Nelson Mandela Bay, is over there. And they're doing an exchange. So there's going to be work from South Africa coming here as well.
Wonderful. Well, enjoy that crown moment. That's what that is. Wonderful. I was going to give it to you anyway, so it doesn't matter. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you all to all my crowns out there. Don't forget your crown, and don't forget your crown. Thank you.
Crown means you know your worth, and knowing whatever you go through doesn't decrease your value, only increases your value. Don't forget your crown, and don't forget your crown.